Hi, and welcome to our first ever Owlverse podcast. Just like our magazine and website, this podcast will deal with story, the powers they hold, the morals and truths they convey, and the connection between others that we find through them. Here we'll be reading sections of our released magazines for those who are unable to pick up a copy or would rather listen to the stories instead. Today we'll be reading our feature story from the spring issue, entitled Aventuras in Cuba. So without much more delay, let's get into it. Aventuras in Cuba. We were looking for an adventure, my girlfriend and I, as we all do at certain times in our lives. Someplace new and different and exciting. A country where we could get lost in the unique qualities of a native land without having the shadow of McDonald's and Starbucks haunting every corner. We were looking for the unknown, because it's important, you know, to step into the darkness every once in a while, to see what lives in reality and what is lying to you in your imagination, to get to that edge of what is comfortable and cross it, beyond the perceived safety of the resort and all they have to offer. That is, of course, when an adventure begins, standing ankle deep in the well of uncertainty. This is what we were searching for, and we found it, just a mere 90 miles off the coast of Florida in Cuba. Our plan to fly down to this little island sitting quietly in the Atlantic came at a strange time, a time of post-Fidel and post-Obama, when the former president visited the island in 2016. And what most Cubans we talked to pointed towards as a watershed moment to normalize relations. It seemed as though long brewing tensions between the United States and Cuba were beginning to cool. Tourism spiked from American citizens to a new yearly high, and more businesses began to find their way onto the sandy shores, most notably Airbnb. Wi-Fi was also starting to become more prominent, and fears of a socialist state living so closely to America's capitalism began to fade. But with the election of Trump, and the dialing back of friendly relations, more questions began to pop up rather than answers. Would we be safe going to Cuba? Would it be easy to get into the country, and more importantly, out of it? And are we even allowed to visit there now? Despite these concerns, we decided to follow the advice of Cuba's most famous poet, José Martí, who once stated, "In a time of crisis, the peoples of the world must rush to get to know each other." With that in our hearts, we were in. After some initial research, it seemed to us the way to enter the country was to declare a reason for traveling there. It is still not permissible to travel to Cuba for tourist reasons alone. However, the prescribed reasons for traveling were listed as follows. 1. Family visits. 2. Official business of the U.S. government, foreign governments, and certain intergovernmental organizations. 3. Journalistic activity. 4. Professional research and professional meetings. 5. Educational activities. 6. Religious activities. 7. Public performances, clinics, workshops, athletic and other competitions and exhibitions. 8. Support for the Cuban people. 9. Humanitarian projects. 10. Activities of private foundations or research or educational institutes. 11. Exportation, importation, or transmission of information or information materials. And 12. Certain export transactions that may be considered for authorization under existing regulations and guidelines. The most obvious one, and the choice declared most prominently for our purposes of traveling, was support for the Cuban people. This loosely entailed certain activities we were required to engage in during our stay, which included meeting with local businessmen, artists, tobacco manufacturers, and people who own their own businesses, exploring independent museums, meeting and greeting, and engaging with musicians at a show, attending art shows, and discussing Cuban society with locals. With our reasons for traveling to Cuba detailed, the only other requirement was purchasing a visa from Delta Airlines for $50 in order to enter the country. On the day of our departure, we left BWI in the morning, flew down to Atlanta, and then after a short 2-hour flight, landed at the Havana airport around 1 p.m. A quick trip through customs put us on the buzzing, hot pavement, surrounded by taxi drivers desperately asking for fares and sign holders greeting travelers. Our Airbnb host arranged a taxi for us at the airport, and before we even had a chance to take in the fact that we were in Cuba, we were looking out the window of the rattling car at the tropical landscape of a land drenched in a rich history of defiance and self-reliance. By the time we passed through the Plaza de Revolución, a wide-open square adorned with the faces of Che Guevara and Camilo Cienfuegos, the realization of the place we had traveled to set in. This square was the center of many national meetings for the people of Cuba. It was where Fidel Castro would speak in order to rally support and try to strengthen the nationalistic fervor running through his population's veins. Even from behind the glass of the taxi, it was obvious this place held an air of importance. Shooting through the traffic circles, we landed at our Airbnb in Vedado, a suburb of Havana, where we stayed in an apartment overlooking the ocean and the seawall, keeping the water from plunging onto the streets. Our host, Judith, met us with smiles and kisses of welcome, taking us up into the small one room we rented and running us through the maps of Havana, pointing out places of interest such as the Capitol Building, Old Havana, and Ernest Hemingway's local hangouts. After she left, we found ourselves watching the sunset as the muffled noises of a soccer game from underneath us floated through our window. The night was warm and quiet, and strangely, we felt at home here. The next day, we took the advice of our host and hopped on a tour bus, located near our apartment, and sat on the second deck underneath the sun and shade from low-hanging trees. We effortlessly glided our way through the streets, stopping only for other tourists looking to join the ride and at major points of interest. Following our original intent, we decided to get off at Jose Marti Central Park, located in Old Havana. From the moment we stepped onto the street, it became clear. Havana is a city swimming in a symphony of sound. From the swinging music to the loud chatter on the streets to the rumbling of old American V8s, it is impossible to escape. Taxi drivers sporting American Plymouths, Chevys, and Fords from the 1950s, and some Soviet Ladas from the 1970s, constantly talk in your ear, offering you scenic rides of the city from the comfort of their plush leather seats. Bus drivers confidently pose in front of their vehicles, guiding you to a quick trip to picturesque beaches just 30 minutes outside the city, and restaurant workers showcase their menus to lure travelers in for an afternoon snack and mixed drink. Here, the city and its people are alive and colorful, and they are well. Reaching into the recesses of past experiences, the best way to understand a city is to find a direction and walk. And so walk, we did. We spent the day exploring the streets of the old city, wandering inside and out of alleyways, getting lost, stumbling upon gift shops and live music. We saw major landmarks, Morro Castle, the Gran Teatro de la Habana, El Capitolio, and more colorful buildings and cars than could be counted, finding both in either complete disrepair or pristine order. But among all of that, there stood the solitary voice of the Cuban people. Stalwart in the pride of their country, their music, and their city, they were there to continually welcome travelers eager to see the parts of the city they had only read about in books and seen on TV. The farther we walked, the more it became clear. The city took on their attitude. Despite their hardships, or maybe because of them, Cuba and its people have a certain strength to them, a will to survive. Turning onto a side street, we passed two young men with their heads stuffed into the hood of their rusty car. Pulling parts out of the recycled bag and ratcheting them into the broken-down engine, they turned the key and fired up the jalopy by the time it took us to reach the end of the cracked road. Staring at us was an apartment building, burnt by the sun and torn by the wind. No doubt its last construction was handled during the height of the Soviet Union and left to crumble since then. But within its walls echoed the cries and laughter of life. Breathing. Just continually breathing. Families congregated outside, sharing shade and cool drinks. Children played soccer and baseball, whatever game they could conjure up with their imaginations. The park in the distance housed the only viable Wi-Fi signal, easily noticeable by the crowd of people buried headfirst into their phones. They were connected to the world now, and were not looking back. But underneath every interaction, every sign of communal life, every family gathering and tourist destination was a sense of welcome and ease. After an early dinner and a few mojitos, we continued our sojourn underneath the stars and the streetlights. If Havana was alive during the day, it burst with ecstasy at night. The streets filled with music from almost every corner and dancing to match. Salsa is the movement of choice in Cuba, and there are plenty of volunteers to dance with or for the shy to spectate. As we walked past a line of souvenir shops, a friendly man with a shaved head and neatly trimmed beard stood in the middle of the street holding a menu. We had gotten quite practiced at the art of saying no gracias, and so before he had a chance to speak, that is what I said. No gracias? I haven't even asked you anything yet, he said in perfect English as his smile turned into laughter. I chuckled along with him and replied, I'm anticipating. I knew it was coming. Where are you from, my friend? United States. Oh, I'm sorry. Estados Unidos. Oh, United States, yes, we love it there. You know, John Lennon, Michael Jackson, he said in his accent while mimicking a moonwalk. I shook his hand and wished him a good evening. Have fun, he yelled after us. We had walked a block ahead and heard the running waves of a flute player in tight rhythm section from a corner bar. The music burst into our lungs as we breathed in the beats that persuaded us to move along with its pace. Taking a seat inside, we ordered two more mojitos and smiled along with the crowd as two women traded the lead vocals in wandering flute solos. Occasionally, patrons would abandon their seats at the bar or their drinks and wander out into the street in order to dance, in order to move. The manager stood closely to the band, nodding his head in approval and offering a menu and seat to anyone else attracted to the flame like the moths we so helplessly were. Beyond politics and history and war and ideologies, this was the Cuba we found. Smiles, laughter, dance, and music. The long day combined with a few drinks wearied our travel bodies earlier than what we would have liked. As we paid our bill, we took one last look at the swinging band and headed back out onto the streets. We made our way to a small cobblestone plaza and waved down an old taxi thumping along the road. The model of the car was indistinguishable in the dark street lights, but from the sound of the creaking door and the smell of burning fuel, we had found a car, and possibly a driver, that had endured the roughest of times on these shores. The soft seats enveloped our bodies as we fumbled with our Spanish in order to point our way home for the night. After illuminating the directions provided by our host on my phone, we decided to look out the windows as a light rain softened the glow of the city. Despite distance between us and the source of music, it decided to live on, in our bodies and in our hearts. We didn't need to tell each other at that moment. It was a silent, salutary agreement. This moment and the spiritual sounds of Havana would probably reside in us for the rest of our lives. We rumbled to a stop outside our gate and paid our driver with a loud smile. This was our first night in Havana, and already we had found our adventure.